Yud Gimel Teves, Monday the 20th of December, Rabbi Moshe Steinhaus, Stick or Snake, the Key to Geula.
First of all, good morning. I'm really great to admire all the people here every day who devote the start of the day to Divrei Torah. It's very, very chashuv. I hope you see that slotter of Divrei Torah throughout the whole day. So this week we will start Mitzvah Hashem, the Sefer HaGeula, Sefer Shmuis, Sefer HaGeula. This takes us from the depths of the Shibud, of the Chumer, of the Veinim, from deep in Mitzrayim, right up until Kabbalah Satira, and then Hashras HaShchina, which is the climax, the peak of Geula is Hashras HaShchina in Klal Yisrael. And it starts, Moshe gets born, he's brought up in Beis Paroi, and he's he goes out to Vayaris of Lutheran, wants to see what's happening with the Yiddish brothers. And he sees there's a Ish Mitzri, Maka Ish Ivri. There's a Mitzri, an Egyptian, who's beating a Yid. And he looks around, no one's looking, he kills the Mitzri, and he hides him. The next day, Moshe goes out again. And he sees two Yidin which are fighting. So he says, Rosh Hashanah, stop this fight? And they straightway turn cynical. Halalgini Atobo, you're coming to kill us like you killed that fellow yesterday. Vayiro Moshe. Moshe grew afraid. Vayoyma Ochin Noida Hadobo. Apparently the matter has been revealed. Poshe Pshat is, Vayiro Moshe. Moshe was afraid. Moshe was afraid for his life. And he said, it seems like this. There's people are talking about what I did yesterday. Someone saw it become public knowledge. And there's a danger to my life here. Pari, and indeed, they told Pari. Pari wanted to kill Moshe. Moshe had to run away. Rashi said there's a deeper pshat to Vayiro Moshe. Moshe was afraid. Moshe wasn't just afraid for his own safety. Moshe was afraid for the future of Klal Yisrael. Moshe was afraid, in what schus will Klal Yisrael now be zeichet to Geula? Why? He says, look, apparently they have Bali Lashon Hara amongst Klal Yisrael. There's Daliturioin. There's people who are talking Lashon Hara. People are spreading this gossip about me. Me'ata shemo einom ru'uyin lihigoyel. Maybe, could be, possibly, they will not be Zeichet to Geula. By Yiro Moshe, Moshe was afraid. We have to understand, why does Lashon Hara have this particular effect of stopping the Geula from coming? We find in other places as well. Lashon Hara has an effect that doesn't bring that stops Geula. Why is this? Why particularly this effect is the result of Lashon Hara? Later on in the parasha, Moshe is standing by the snare, and he has a 7-day debate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come, the leader, you can do it. Moshe Rabbeinu is refusing. He all sorts of tangles. He says he doesn't want to take on the leadership of Klal Yisrael. Eventually, Moshe says, a new taina, fine, I'll be the leader, I'll take it on. Hilei aminuli, there's no point, they won't believe me. They won't listen to the message that I'm bringing them. There's no point, Klal Yisrael, which anyways won't accept what I say. Fine. Vayemei lav Hashem said, mazeh biyodecha. What's that in your hand? What are you holding? Vayemei matah, this is my stick. This is the stick that Moshe held. Vayemei hashlicheyu arzo. Throw it on the ground. Vayhila nochosh. And after Moshe threw it, it turned into a serpent. Moshe ran off. Hashem said, no, return, pick it up, hold the snake. Moshe held it. It returned to a stick in his hand. Hashem said, this should be an oath, this should be a wonder, this should be a miracle. This will show control that you are indeed sent from Hashem, that you are a messenger of Hashem. So simply one can understand, this is a miracle worker. He's coming with Getlecha Keichas, he's coming with Keichas from Hashem. Obviously, right? That's a very powerful sign. Rashi says, no, there was a message, there was a meaning to this oath. It carried a meaning, it carried a message to Klal Yisrael. So Rashi, there's two halves to this oath. There's the first half, when Hashem says, what's in your hand? A stick, and it turns into a snake. That's the first half of the oath. And then there's the second half, when Hashem says, pick up the snake, and it reverts back to the stick. That's like two oases in one. And so Rashi says what the meaning of the first half is. What was the meaning of having a stick and it coming into a snake? So Rashi says that this was a message from Moshe Rabbeinu. Remez lo isha sipa loshen hora al Yisrael. This was a remez that he spoke loshen hora about Yisrael. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hein lo yaminu li. They might not believe. They might not believe me. This was a sort of a loshen hora. He was talking about Klal Yisrael. He was saying that they might not believe what he had to say. So this is who said why are you assuming this? This is loshen hora that Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't have uttered those words about Klal Yisrael. So Hashem said, and the stick that you're holding, turn into a snake. Be aware that when you speak loshen hora, your tofas umnosu yishal nachosh. You're using the kriches of the nachosh, using the kriches of the tzahara, using the kriches of the satan. Well, he spoke loshen hora way back in Gan Eden about Hashem to Adam Rishon. So that was the hint. You have a stick, it turns into a snake. So the question is, what's the Rashi doesn't tell us what the symbolism of the second half of the east was. What's the symbolism of picking it back up again? Could be simply to get a stick back. was there any deeper meaning to the second half of the Ois when Moshe picked up the snake and it reverted back to a stick? Also, you have to understand what was the meaning of Klal Yisrael. What message was Klal Yisrael going to get from all this stick snake? It wasn't they did not speak Lashon Hara in Klal. I mean, it wasn't obviously that they spoke Lashon Hara. It seemed to be like a plain wonder. What message was there in for Klal Yisrael, particularly in this Ois of stick snake stick? So let's have a look at. Let's try and understand. Umnosi shel nachash. Rashi says the nachash, the satan, the yetzer hara, has a profession, something that he does really, really well. Something which is instinctive to him. It's natural. He's been doing it since day one. What's this midah? This is the midah of lashon hara. Let's have a look what happened there. So Adam Rishon, Hashem created the world. Created Adam. He put Adam in Gan Eden. He put him in the most beautiful, in the best place in the world that's possible to imagine. He put him in Gan Eden. There's all the trees he can enjoy, every single one, any fruit he can take, he can enjoy it all. It's all there for his benefit, for him to indulge in, for his enjoyment. Everything is there for Adam and Rishon. Hashem tells him, there's one tree in the middle of the Gan, one tree, the own good, keep away from it. It's Itadas Feichagan, you eat it. You'll when the day you eat it, you'll have to die. It's not fit. And Chavim of the Farshim say, it's just a couple of hours. Come Shabbos, Adam would have been enough, eat from the Itadas, would have been Tikkun HaSholim, would have been. He would have overcome the Messiah, it would have been gewaldig. But the Mamash and Netzach and Tzachim, Nenem is a Vashchinah, one can't imagine. Comes along the Sotan, comes along the Nachash, sangles up the Chavah, tells her, you think this is for your good? You think Hashem means has your best interest in mind? Not so. That tree, that's the best tree in the Gan, that tree in the middle there, that's the best one, go for it. You get that one, you'll become Kiyed Elikim Yidea Tevara. Hashem's keeping the best thing for you, he doesn't want you to have that tree because he knows it's the best one. You go and eat it. What's good, what's bad? Very confusing now. Is the best thing not to eat it, is the best thing to eat it? Very, very confusing, everything comes unclear. The Chava takes it back from the Eitz Hadas, Chava gives it on to Odom. And from that day on, this koyach of the Yitzhara, of the Satan, to confuse, to leave what seems good, and to then to perceive it as bad, to be able to portray it as bad, that ability, that koyach, to have something which is essentially very, very good, amazing, and then to portray it as bad, that is the koyach which the Yitzhara put into the man at the time when he ate from the Eitz Hadas. And it's come hardwired into our genes. That's the way we are now. We don't have to elaborate on this. People naturally see the bad. Even something which is good, something which is very, very good. People are cynical, people are critical. It's very hard for people to see, just to see something as good. You know, we have an expression, it's too good to be true. Why can't it be true and good? That's how we look at things. It's just the way we are. The Chazal say, Alisaper b'teivas chaviri. One shouldn't talk too much about how good one's friend is, you'll be talking about how good he is, you have to say something critical, something bad. That's the nature of that's how we are. The problem starts when this gets expressed, when we express this, and this expression is the Lashon Hara. That's what it is. Lashon Hara is something, talking about something, a person, which everyone is essentially good. Everyone has a neshama. Every person we know, absolutely, you talk to any educator, they'll say that every child, it's obvious, they want to be good, they are good, everyone has a shirish, which is toiv and good. And Lashon Hara takes this individual and portrays him as bad. It's turning the truth on his head. It's such a misrepresentation. It's so untrue. That's a lie. Simply a lie. Lashon Hara is a lie. Lashon Hara is an untruth. That's not what the person is. You say a bad thing about a person, it's a lie. Chazal say, Lesisa Sheimashov. Do not accept a false report. That's a pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim. So Chazal say, that is the makor of the Issa to be mekabel Lashon Hara. The source in the Torah of the Issa to be mekabel Lashon Hara is, Lesisa Sheimashov, do not accept a false report. So Lashon Hara is not nice. Very not nice. But why is it false? Why is Lashon Hara shov? Targum says shov is shikro. Why is Lashon Hara shikro? Well, it's Yishemra is sheker, the Lashon Hara. I saw it myself. It's shov because it's a misrepresentation. It's so skewing the truth to portray someone as bad, to say a bad word, that it's called shov, it's called sheker. So we have an understanding now in the what Lashon Hara is. It's turning the reality on its head. It's portraying a bad reality in place of the truth, of the good, which is really there. That was the keich of the Yetzer Hara. That was the keich of the Satan in Gan Eden, and that's what's become, since that day, it's become our nature. Let's have a look at the effect of Lashon Hara. What's the effect of Lashon Hara? So normally we tend to understand it's a social sin. It rips the fabric of society. People are talking bad about each other. There's no achdus. That's true. But there's more to it than that. There's much more to it than that. As we see, the purpose of Briyas Olam was, as we know, that Hashem should be Mashra Shechnasi Tachtonim. He should find a place to rest, for His presence to be in right down here in this world. There's a well-known yisod. Lo yigur chara. Hashem will not rest His presence, will not rest His shechina anywhere on anything which is bad. Ki yodea Hashem derech tzadikim. Hashem connects, involves Himself with derech tzadikim, with good, with tzadikim. The derech rishon tovid. Rashi says Hashem pushes the derech of rishon out of sight. He doesn't want to have anything to do with derech rishon. Ra has no place together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anything which is bad, anything which is ra, Hashem has no shaychus with. Hashem is resting on Toiv. Hahor HaToiv Hazev Alavonin HaToiv is Beis HaMikdosh. If Hashem is resting there, it must be Toiv. That's what Hashem will have a connection with. That is where there's a big koyach for the Satan to step in. The Satan has a koyach of Kitruk. We know, well known, that there's such a thing as a makatrik. A prosecutor, someone who stands in Shemayim and prosecutes. What's the prosecution? What's his koyach? His koyach is to, like what happened when Hashem wanted to create Adam Rishon. So he turned to the Malachim. Should I create Adam Rishon? And they said, no. Mor Elish Kisis Kareno. What is he? What value is this? This little individual, which he's going to create, called man. It's not hitchal Hashemayim. Don't have anything to do with him. It's a risky business to involve yourself with man. He's going to. You're getting in bechira. How can you do such a thing? It's so dangerous. You'll never ever get to your goal. It's not hitchal Hashemayim. You're much safer just putting a shrof Hashchina in Shemayim. Busy the malachim. Forget about that whole business of the earth and man. It's not worth it. That was the start. Right at the beginning. That was the first kitrug in Shemayim. More enish kisis kareno. And that's the koyach of the Satan the whole time. More enish kisis kareno. Hashem, why are you so busy? Why does it interest you so much? People down on this world, human beings, what do you see in them? Why are you so busy with them? And it's a very powerful kitruk. And every time a person does an avera, the Satan comes and says, see Hashem? Didn't I tell you? Forget about it. The business is failing. It's crashing. Leave it. That's the koyach of the kitrug. That's the koyach of the sultan. And every Rosh Hashanah, there's a din. The Yetzer Hara comes again. The pasuk says in Eiv, when the pasuk in Eiv is described, the beginning of Eiv describes what it looks like in Shemayim on Rosh Hashanah. That's when Eiv was got his nisoyim was put into effect was because of the din of Rosh Hashanah. That's how the pasuk in Eiv starts. And the pasuk says that the sultan comes with his siyat seif al Hashem. The Satan comes and stands in opposition to Hashem. Hashem has an idea, Hashem has a goal, Hashem has an objective, and the Satan is coming to Lesiatsev al Hashem. He's got a taina against the whole business Hashem is busy with. The Satan says, scrap the whole thing. And Hashem, every Rosh Hashanah is Zichir HaBris. Zichir HaBris. Satan says, Ma enish kisis karenu. Why are you Zichir? Why are you giving such individual attention to man? And Hashem says, no. I reaffirm my connection with Klal Yisrael. Zichir HaBris. I remember the others. I know who they really are. You tell me they're bad. You tell me that they've done Averis. You tell me that they've done this and this. You tell me it's a bad thing. I know. Hashem knows that this is really, it's going to work. He trusts us and he knows that we're going to pull through. And he Zichir HaBris. He trusts. He knows who we really are. He sees the good within us. Comes Rosh Hashanah, comes Yom Kippur, a day when the Satan doesn't have a koyach to be mekatrig. There's one day a year when the Satan does not have a koyach to be mekatrig. And Hashem sees so clearly, kol ha'om b'shgogo. Hashem can peel off all the crusty layers, everything that's covering us, everything that seems to be, which on the outside seems to really give koyach to the tain of the Satan. And Hashem goes through, oh no, kol ha'om b'shgogo, Klal Yisrael deep down. Chelek Hashem amoy, Hashem knows that they're essentially, really deep down, they're good. They're going to pull through, and it's going to work out. But there's a koyach of kitruk. There's a koyach. We have to be aware. We have to know there is a koyach. There is a koyach of kitruk. That such a thing exists. Now, Lashon Hara is collaboration with a satan. Lashon Hara is really just picking up the echoing the cry of the satan. Mo enish kisis karenu. When one talks Lashon Hara, one is basically saying, that guy's bad. What effect does that have? Okay, fine. So Hashem has nothing to do with anything that's bad. Hashem keeps away. Hashem doesn't have any connection with anything which has been portrayed as bad. It's a kitruk. It's a kitruk. To speak Lashon Hara is joining forces, is aligning oneself with the Koyach HaSatan, with the Koyach of the Yitzhara. You've described the world as a bad place. Fine. T'nohicha Lashonayim. That's the effect of Lashon Hara. Words carry weight. That's what we have to understand. We have a koyach. We have a koyach of moves v'chayim b'yad haloshen. We will decide. It'll be our. It's our koyach with our words to decide whether or not to be kiveya, whether or not this world is a world of place of chayim or of moves. Whether Hashem has a shaychus with this world, whether he's mashash chenasi in this world, or chas v'sholom, he can't do that. There's an amazing Gemara in Chagiga Daf Tesvov. The Gemara says the following story. Gemara says that Rabbi Baba Sheloi, he was walking along the street and he bumped into Eliyahu Navi. So what did he do when he met Eliyahu Navi? He asked him, "What's Hashem doing in Shemayim? What's Hashem doing? What's going on up there?" Eliyahu Navi knows. So what's happening up there? So Eliyahu Navi said, "Hashem is saying over Torah. He's saying over the words of Tanoim." This Tana says this and this and this. This Tana said this and this and this. Hashem is repeating the words of Tanoim. Besides, for Reb Meir, Hashem's not saying over anything from Reb Meir. So this is Eliyahu Navi. Why not? Asked Rabbi Bashele, what's with Reb Meir? Well, Reb Meir learned Torah from Achir. Reb Meir was a Talmud of Achir. Hashem will not say over Torah for Reb Meir because he was a Talmud of Achir. Let's just say, in a word, what's Reb Meir and Achir? Achir was also a Tanna, he was a Tanna, and he went off. Total apikiris, I mean, he went entirely off the derech. And Reb Meir was still a Talmud of his. The Gemara describes how Reb Meir used to accompany Achir on Shabbos. Achir was on his donkey, and Reb Meir would stand next to him, they were talking and learning, and they would come to the end of the town, to the edge of the Gvul of Tchum, and so Achir would say, "Okay, Reb Meir, no further, you've got to get back. I'll see you later." And off he went, and he carried on over Tchum Shabbos. And Reb Meir was learning Torah from Achir. So Hashem didn't say Torah from him. So Rabbi Baba Sheli said, "Hang on. Reb Meir rimoy motzo. He found a pomegranate." This is like a metaphor. He found a pomegranate. He ate the seeds and discarded the peels. That's what Rabbi Baba Sheli said. So Eliyahu Navi said, "Do you know what Hashem is doing in Shemayim now? He's saying, B'ni Reb Meir imeh. So and so. Benir of Meir Ime, such and such." That's the Gemara. I'm going to understand this. Does Hashem not know that Reb Meir could differentiate between the bad sides of Acher and the good sides. Why did this was Rabbi Bashili, his chiddush. This was he did, no one knew this till then. Hashem couldn't say over for Rameh. Rameh was 100% unadulterated pure Torah. It was good. Why didn't Hashem say over for Rameh? So we've got to understand, people in those days, like probably what happened nowadays as well, they were criticizing Rameh. Acher is such a fellow. Chuck him out. How can you have any shaykhs with him? How can you learn Torah from him? You should have left him. How can you carry on having shaykhs with him? Condemnations, criticism from all sides. One could imagine what was going on then. The tainah that people have in Achi. And actually, the Gemara says that Rameh was somebody who leyordu chavir of the Seif Dati. Rameh was somebody, it's Gemara in Irvin, Rameh was somebody people didn't understand what he was doing. People didn't understand leyordu chavir of the Seif Dati. With all this protest and commotion on this world, then Hashem can't give Rameh that schus, that connection of saying Torah in his words. He can't. There's a kitruk. There's no way that Hashem can give Rameh this special, for his Shom Gan Eden, obviously it's a taino, it's obviously it doesn't good to have Hashem to say over Torah in his words. If no one said a good word about Rameh, so it's held back from him, this schus. Until Rabbi Bashili comes along and he understands, no, the inner dynamics of what went on between Rameh and Acher is not so simple. Take away all the haze, take away all the unclarity. You can see through it. It was good. Rameh was fine, pure. Though he didn't take anything bad from Acher. He ate the edible parts, he threw away the inedible parts, he rejected them. He had the clear to learn from Acher. Some people can have such a reva. He's been rather schuss. He said a good word. He's been Meramas Chus. He's Hashem can then connect and say over the words of Rameh. Someone has been Meramas Chus. So it's come very clear to us, the Chira, why the Koyach of Lashon Hara. What the Koyach of Lashon Hara is. Number one, we said that it defines something which is essentially good, really good. And it portrays it as bad, it portrays it and skews it, and portrays it in a bad light. And the effect of that is the Koyach of Kitrug. Once it's been portrayed, once a person with Lashon Hara portrays something as bad, he has a great, he's Ma'ir, a great Kitrug. That's the real purpose of the Koyach of the Nochosh, to portray this world in a bad place, and to get us to have that attitude, is that Hashem should not have a connection with this world, and should be no hitcha Hashemayim. Hashem should have just be busy with the Malachim and not have any connection with Olam Hazeh. Ochin, Vayira Moshe, Moshe was afraid. When Moshe saw Baalei Lashon Hara in Klal Yisrael, he grew afraid. They will not be Zeicha to Geula. Geula means Hashem Hashchina. Geula means Hashem is resting, is coming down on Klal Yisrael. With Baalei Lashon Hara in Klal Yisrael, there's no way that Hashem will bring them to Geula. Hashem will leave them in the Shibud of Mitzrayim. He won't bring them out. He won't connect with them, and he won't bring them towards Geula. That's the Vayira Moshe. Now let's have a look at the issue here with the Matzah and the Nochosh. So Moshe spoke a word Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. Hein lo yaminu. So Hashem said, you express Lashon Hara, you portrayed Klal Yisrael as not maminim, in a bad light. Let's be clear what happened here. You know what it's like taking a stick, something which it gives you support, a good thing. And you created a nochash, you created a serpent, you created a reality of novice. You created something bad. That's what you've done. It's unfortunate. It's a koyach of the Loshen to actually create novice, to create the koyach of nochash. Now Hashem says, now I'm going to teach you the tikkun. How do you rectify this? How are you masakin this chit? How are you masakin it? You see something bad. You see something which looks like a nochash. Believe in it. Pick it up. Trust it. Believe, see through it. Remember what it was. Remember where it comes from. Remember what it really is. Remember its essence. Don't be fooled by what looks like a nochosh. Go for it. Pick it up. It reverts back. With the koyach of Loshen Toiv, we bring chayim. We take something which has been portrayed as bad, which seems to be covered by bad, and we can bring out the good in it. We can bring out the good. We can with the koyach of Loshen, we can be mahapach a nochosh to a matter. What message was there in this Klal Yisrael? What was this is very, very meaningful to Moshe Rabbeinu. He said a few words of Lashon Hara. Hashem taught him this lesson. Why would Klal Yisrael say, Why would Klal Yisrael be lo yaminu li v'lo yishmu b'keli? Why would that be? There's many pshatim given. Why Klal Yisrael will not believe Moshe Rabbeinu? The Alshe suggests the pshat that Klal Yisrael will feel unworthy. How can we be zeichi? Tayach Hashem wants to make us am a nifcha, am a he wants to yisim skula mikhala amim. These sorts of things. These things don't speak to Klal Yisrael. They felt so unworthy, so low. They didn't feel worthy that Hashem should connect them in such a way. And indeed, Klal Yisrael didn't always believe Moshe when the leishomer Moshe mikhu tirach mevri lekasha. There's a pirush there from Sidur Rashi. It's brought in a new Chumashim and a Moshe Rashi. They bring that from Sidur Rashi. Why didn't they listen to Moshe? So the Rashi gives Rashi says it's like you tell a shnora tomorrow you'll be a king. It didn't penetrate. They didn't feel worthy. You don't feel worthy. You don't believe that you're possible, that Hashem will really want you and be Masha Hashem on you. No, that's also a form of Lashon Hara. That's a form of Lashon Hara about yourself. It's also Lashon Hara. Believe in yourself as well. To portray yourself as bad, to feel yourself unworthy, to not see your own inner good, your own inner neshama, to who you really, what you're really capable of, that's also a form of Lashon Hara. They also have to hear this lesson. That from a nachash one can revert to a matter, from something which they feel low and unworthy can become good, and can be worthy of Ashras Hashchina. And indeed, the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, when the time, this is Klal Yisrael looking in retrospect, that they said to Hashem in Golos, Al Tiruni Shanisha Sarchires, please don't look at me as if I'm black. Sheshazovasni Hashomesh. I'm not genetically dirty. I've been out in the sun a bit and I'm a bit tanned. It's not genetic, it's not really who I am. B'nei imi nicharubi. Rashi says that it's referring to the Mitzriim, who they incited me to Lashon Hara. That's not who I am. Klal Yisrael got the realization that really that's not who they were. Really they weren't at all b'nei oivei avodah zarah. It was they'd been incited to it, it's something which they'd been led into. But al tiruni shanisha chacheres, I'm not really that's not really who I am. So, just in summary, we want to know why Lashon Hara is the kiveh of Golos and Geula, and we want to understand the symbolism of the Nachash and Amateh. We define Lashon Hara as really a lie. It's not portraying the truth. We just talk about the kitrug that creates. It created the kitrug, and it's up to us to decide hamoles v'chein liyad haloshen. And Mr. Shem, in the schus of recognizing the power of our perspectives, and in turn the power of our words, we should be zeichet the Geula Shleima.